Okay. Next speaker, please. Okay. I was getting a little bit worried here. So, right. Our next topic is analysis and solution for CAVS testing errors. CAVS, if you know, is a cryptographic algorithm validation that goes, it's a sister program with the CMBP full FIPS validation program. And our speaker will be Wan Shu. She's from ATSEC, and she's a consultant, security consultant, information security consultant. Welcome, Wan Shu.
Thank you for introducing me. Let me first find my slides.
Okay. Sorry, I keep forgetting to do this.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, I want to share my experience of CAVS testing, and the topic of my presentation is analysis and solutions for CAVS testing errors. Okay, here I give an overview of my presentation. I will talk about introduction to CAVS testing, different types of CAVS testing errors, and I will give examples of how to analyze the minor errors and how to analyze the major errors. Okay, in slide 3, I have a question. What is CAVS? I think we all know that CAVS stands for Cryptographic Algorithm Validation System. So the CAVS here we mentioned is actually a testing tool. It's for the CAVP to assure that the implementation of the algorithm is correct. And CAVS testing is a prerequisite for both FIPS validation and the common criteria evaluation under the NIAP scheme. Okay, on slide 4, I gave a diagram to show how CAVS testing plays a role in the whole scheme of FIPS validation. Generally, there are 5 steps. Step 1, the developer of the algorithm implementation. First, they need to design the algorithms to implement it, and they will go to the test guidelines. And step 2, the implementer, they will contact our lab, the CST accredited lab, and the lab will using the latest CAVS 2 to do the CAVS testing, so that's step 3. So in the step 3, there may be several iterations here because we are going to find some errors, and then the vendor is going to fix that. So until the testing is done correctly, and then the lab in step 4, it will send the testing result to the CAVP. And in step 5, the CAVP, after them validate the test results, all the algorithms will be posted on the NIST website to have a certificate number. And then for the end user, they can go to that website and to use this algorithm. And also for the FIPS project, they are going to refer it in the secure policy. Okay, in slide 5, I gave a screenshot of the tool. I believe this is the latest tool. On the top left, you will see there's a version indicated. This is CAVS version 19.4. And then it will show different algorithms that which is testable by the CAVS tool. We can see that it will include the triple base, AES, and if you pay attention, the SHA-3 is shown, so that means the SHA-3 is testable in the latest tool. And then in this example, I checked the DRBG and I show how to test the hash DRBG. And in the big rectangular, you will see that there are different options for this testing. And then after we configure the tool, I want to specify that the selection of the options should be actually according to the implementation of the algorithm. Because if the selection is wrong, then you are not going to pass the test. And then we can generate the DRBG test vectors, and then once we got the test result, we can verify it. There are two buttons on the bottom, then you just configure and then test it. On slide six, I want to ask another question. How is the algorithm tested by CAFS? The CST lab, it uses the latest CAFS tool and the information supplied by the vendor according to their actual implementation of the algorithms. And the lab will generate the input vectors. Basically, the CAFS tool will generate three types of files, which are the fax file, the request file, and the sample file. The fax file contains the information that the tool is used to generate the answers. And the rex file is the input text vector. And the sample file will specify the format required by the response file. And the response file is actually the output generated by the vendor's algorithm implementation. Okay, to make things clear, I gave another diagram to show how it works. The lab, they will use the tool to generate three types of file, and we will send the request file and the sample file to the vendor, and the vendor will use the input test vector to exercise different features of their algorithm implementation, and we'll generate the output of the algorithm testing and return it in the response file. And then lab will test the response file against the fax file by using the CAFS tool. And then if it passed, the tool will say, okay, all passed. Or if it fails, then there will be an error occurs, the log file will be generated and it contains information pertaining to the error. And the lab can help the vendor to analyze the errors and to help them to solve the problem. Okay, I tried to categorize the different types of errors. Different people may have different ways to categorize it. I want to make things simple, so I just say, okay, I classify to two types of errors, the major error, which usually it will indicate that there is an implementation flaws. And I suggest several actions. First, review the algorithm implementation code against the specific algorithm standard. For example, if you are implementing RSA, then you should go to the FIPS 186-4 standard, which specifies the digital signature standard. And then the second step, just review the test harnessed against the specific algorithm validation system. For example, if you want to test AES, then there is the AES algorithm validation suite, which will tell you what the tool is going to exercise the algorithm, how it will test it. And then once we found the errors, once we target it, then we update the algorithm implementation code or test harness. Sometimes we need to update both. The second type is the minor errors. Usually it will indicate there is a formatting problem in your test harness. The test harness is the test framework that the vendor usually use to parsing the input vector to massage it into the algorithm implementation and get the result. So here I also give several actions. First, to make sure the request file are passed in correctly, and then compare the response file with the sample file. As I mentioned before, the sample file will specify formatting. So you need to check if the format is correct. And then we need to update the test harness. Okay, right now we know that there are two different types of errors, but how to classify if it's a major error or a minor error? Okay, we all know there is a log file, so my thumb rule is just review the log file. It's very straightforward. If the log file shows that the test response cannot be read correctly, or it implies that there is a formatting problem, then that might be a minor error. If the log file shows that the test response cannot be verified, that means it can read it, but cannot verify the result. So, and if you check, there's no formatting problem. Usually, it indicates that there is a problem in your algorithm implementation, and I call it major error. Okay, in the next several slides, I will give examples. First, I will give an example of the minor errors. The first example is that there is a log file which shows that the response file cannot be opened. So here, it's very easy when you check the extension, file extension, you will find that it's not the .rst. So the file extension that the CAVP expects is .rsp, not .resp. And the second example is that there's a log file which shows an error when reading a value. So the value cannot be read correctly. So here we need to make sure that the response file contains all the values needed and as specified in the sample file. For example, here I give an example of the when we testing the KAS, the primitive test. So you will see in the sample file, it will ask you to return several values there. So to make sure all the name of the value you return is exactly the same as that are required. Okay, here's the third example of the minor error. There is a log file, which is when we testing RSA keychain, it shows that the length of a value is wrong. If you see the red rectangular, it says that the D is wrong length in response file. It should be 2048 bits, but in the response file, it's 2044 bits. So if you are familiar with RSA key generation, actually the D length doesn't have to be exact length of the modulus number, which is 2048 here. It could be a little small bit less than that. But the two requires the length to be specified as the same length as the modulus. So what the vendor could do is that if you can update the test harness, if you can pair the output value of D with leading zeros, then that will solve the problem. There's another example, example 4. There is a log file which shows the response cannot be verified. For example, when we are testing ECDSA key generation, in the rectangular, it indicates that Q doesn't equal to D times G. So you may think that, okay, maybe there's something wrong in my algorithm implementation, but when I check this response file, I found that the D value in the response file is a decimal value, but the Q values are actually hex string. So the two, it won't help you to do the conversion. So what we suggest that to update the test harness to make sure the values are returned in the same formatting. Here they require a hex string. Okay, now let's talk about the major errors. There are several examples too. The first example is when we are testing the AES ECB mode, the Monte Carlo test failed. The Monte Carlo testing is specified in the AES validation system, and if you go to that specific section about the AES ECB mode, and you will find that there are two iterations when you're doing this calculation. The outer layer is 100 times, and the inner layer is 1,000 times. So when I checked their test harness, I found that the inner loop, the iteration number is specified not correctly. So we need to make sure that 1,000 iterations are looped before getting the ciphertext for each of the 100 rounds of tests. Otherwise, the result won't be passed. There's a second example about the Monte Carlo test. It's about the triple disk CBC mode. In this case, the vendor specified the iteration number correctly, which is 400 groups of 10,000 iterations. But when they check, they downloaded the test vectors from the NIST website, which has the intermediate values, and they said, our implementation may be wrong because we do the XOR calculation and the result is different from what the two expected. So I opened that file and I found that the two values, they're different. But actually, they only differ in the last digit of each byte. So if you are familiar with triple bits, you will know that in each byte, the last base is parity bits. So you need to make sure in each byte, the number of ones is odd number. So by setting that parity bits in the test harness, then you will get the right answer. For example, the 53, you set the last bit to be 0, then you will get 52, which is the correct answer. Okay, here is another example. There is a log file shows that ECDSA public key validation test failed. On the left side, the response file tells that, okay, it gives the public key and says, okay, the testing passed. And on the right side in the fact file, which contains the answer, it says wrong because there is some value out of range. How could it be wrong? Then we analyze it. We go to the ECDSA validation system, and it refers to ANSI X99.62 standard, which specify how you do the public key validation. And there are five steps there to do the PKV. By reviewing the module source code, we found that actually the vendor skipped one step of that testing, so which makes the test failed. So don't take it for granted the tool won't catch such kind of error. It will catch it. So we suggest that the solution is very straightforward. You just need to update the implementation code and to add that step. Okay, here's the last example of the major error. There is a log file which testing the RSA key generation. It failed. And the log file indicates that the D values do not match. On the right side, I gave the example of the response file. It gives the E value, the public key exponent, the P and Q, the N and the D. The tool will check the range of all these values and it will do the calculation. And the calculation, I gave the formula there. So you can see that in this calculation, it needs to calculate the least common multiplier of P minus 1 and Q minus 1. When we reviewed the algorithm implementation code, we found that it didn't implement this one because this is new. This is from the 186-4, but their implementation is still according to 186-2. Sorry. So the solution here is to update the implementation code of RSA key generation to make it updated, to make it conformance to the 186-4 standard. Here comes to my conclusions. There are all the rules of thumb. First, when you found an error, first you need to check the log file. Then you need to make sure that the test vectors are passed correctly, are read correctly. And then you need to compare the response file with the sample file and check that the formatting is correct. Then we need to review the algorithm implementation code to see that if it complies to the algorithm standards. The last step is that to check the test harness to make sure it follows the algorithm validation system. Okay, this is my presentation. And I also gave several references of all the websites which specify the standard, the validation system, the management document, and the question and answer. Thank you.
Any questions?
Any questions for Sean?
One. Awesome. Good.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you.
One.
So,
Yeah, the good news here is that once you have your algorithm certified, it's very easy to keep doing that for multiple versions, as you all know, for recertification. It's only the first time that that one has to get it right, and after that it's all a breeze. So we come to the end of our full afternoon, first session within the afternoon. So I would encourage you to pick up a drink and a cookie or whatever and attend the quiz. There is a kind of a Jeopardy type of program. It's very interesting. I promise you, you will enjoy it. So please come, attend. That's in the other room, 215, the larger room. And see you all back after that. Thank you. Jonathan.
No, I'm going to ask Jonathan to do it. Jonathan.